and welcome to Watch the Throne. What a lovely day. This is episode 50, the Letterboxd wrap-up and Watch the Throne reflection episode. I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm Joey Lewandowski. I apologize. That was a mouthful. I mean, we just talked about it, but we've never done this before. We don't have a catchy name for it.
Nope.
We both ranked. This is the first time you've ranked, I think, right? Have you gone back and ranked Cage or Keanu?
I have not. No, this is the first time.
So I've been ranking. I mean, I ranked Cage after the fact. I think I might have ranked Keanu. No, I think I started Keanu midstream somewhere. Okay. But Watch the Throne, I ranked from the beginning on Letterboxd. You can go to cageclub.me/hosts and find links to our Letterboxd are there from Joey and Mike's page.
Yes.
Or just at Soul Popped on Letterboxd and at Mikester on Letterboxd.
This is not brought to you by Letterboxd, by the way. Joe 2 did not secure that.
I paid them.
Yeah, that's right.
Which and is
I'm
true.
I'm going to start paying them. So
what we did, we ranked all of Charlize's movies. They did 46 episodes about content, 45 movies plus Arrested Development. So we had the 45 movies ranked on there. We're going to go through these lists. We're going to see pretty quickly, but we'll find out. But Mike, and we're also going to do some like closing thoughts, because as you're listening to this, 1 week from today, if you're listening to it, the day comes out, will be the Chrome Teeth.
Oh, that.
You still have time to vote. Go to cageclub.me. Well,
actually,
you might have time to vote.
We'll
I'm not
see.
Sure.
We might
go
leave
to cageclub.me. Well, because we're recording, as this comes out, we're recording tonight.
Right.
So depending on when you're listening to this, voting may still be open.
Get it in there under the wire.
If you haven't voted yet, vote. Before we get into that, though,
Before we get down to business, we have some business.
You don't know that this existed yet.
Nope. You're dropping the bomb on me.
This is something that early on I was like, oh, I need to do something with this. Joe 2's known about this.
Okay.
I meant to play this at Camp Cage Club.
I can't believe you told Joe 2 and you haven't told me.
Oh.
What other secrets are you keeping, co-founder?
You have no idea. I want to get... There's two files I need to have here. Hang on.
All right.
Pop quiz for you.
Hot shot.
What have you done a lot on this podcast?
Impressions.
I, as I was editing, took every one of your impressions...
Uh-oh, and created
a sound... And spliced them back to back to back to back to back.
Oh, no. Why would you do such a thing?
Because it's incredible. So here
that?
We go. Mike's impressions.mp3.
So I would love to see him be a judge.
Just like kind of in it, yo. I'm a glorified extra.
Yeah, and we got to talk about Dennis Miller, babe. Lady, there's a lot of shit going on that you don't know about.
Constantinople.
He's like, I'm just hoping to have it set in the 40s. That way I could get away with all my icky stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, hello. No, thank you. Pass. Hard pass. Hard pass.
I grew up on the salt of the earth and I'm an asshole because of it. And
I know. Like, that was part of the plan. Like, I wanted to get captured.
Oh, she never misses, does she?
Why does this scene have to be in Who's Got Mail? Why can't it be in Atrocities in Other Country Movie? Like, I don't get it. I'm gonna do that. So, you know, either do that or get off my set.
Take me on the other side.
There's an impression.
Oh, no.
So we had in there David Lynch.
Yep.
Sylvester Stallone, Dennis Miller. Babe.
I'm like crying right now. Why would you do that to me?
Downtown Clay Davis.
Shit.
Jade Scorpion Hypnotist, Woody Allen in that, Jason Statham, Robin Williams. The one sort of under the radar, Dennis Hopper as Salt of the Earth.
Yeah.
Scottish Huntsman Thor, Rob Brydon, Sean Penn as director Sean Penn in the last phase, and then you singing Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then you just saying, well, there's an impression.
That's nuts. No.
There's somehow, I left one out. Ooh. I don't know how it was, but you did one as James Franco, as Tommy Wiseau.
Oh,
that I have
yeah.
on my computer. I just didn't make it into this thing, but...
Why don't you find it? Just find that impression. Do it. Just do it. Everyone does it.
I'm proud of myself in that.
I'm proud of myself.
Oh, you absolutely should be.
I'm a man of a thousand voices.
But, like, because that's why I even brought it up to you a couple of weeks ago. I was like, you haven't done impressions in a while. And then they kind of came back. But, like, there was probably, because most of these were from the first, like, 20.
Okay.
And then there was probably, like, 15 or 20 episodes where nothing happened. And then you had a few toward the end.
See, like, we got to go back into the Cage era and the Keanu era. I mean, I did the Ving Rhames, the I Be Banging speech.
You also did one on the Clip Show that I was going to pull. And I'm like, this is sort of from the original run. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I like it.
The credit that I was going to give myself is that from the first time I was like, oh, I bet this is going to happen a lot. Let me just pull this clip. And I was like, okay, cool. And then Joe was like, oh, no, I love this. So it was the night of Camp Cage Club. You had gone downstairs, and it was me and Joe. And I was like, oh, if he comes back up, I need you to distract him, because I need, like, because I meant to do it. I'm like, I need, like, 3 minutes to put this all together.
Oh, he should have come downstairs for 5 minutes.
I know. Distracted me. It was great. So we, so I'm glad that That's you appreciated cool. that. I'm going to put the audio in. I'll also put it at the very end of this episode if you want to hear it sort of unadulterated. Yeah. It's a minute, but you do like 17 impressions in a minute.
And now I want everyone to go hunt on the other shows that I guest on, because
send me timestamps.
Because like I do Chuck Heston on Foodie Films. I do my Rocky Horror impressions on that episode. I do a couple there. You could hear my Tim Curry. Well, you said you had a surprise, and you weren't kidding.
I'm glad that you appreciate... I mean, not that you would ever not appreciate it,
well,
but,
what
like,
was I going to do? Like, storm out of here mad? Like that?
Out of your own house, yes.
No, but, like, tell you to leave? Like, I can't believe you did that? No, that was great. That's hilarious.
So, I'm glad that you appreciate it. So, there we go. Mike's list of impressions and that's from just, Watch the Throne. That's just this
just
podcast.
Watch the Throne, yeah. So, got to go dig into the archives for the rest of those. I mean, I was listening to the Gangster Squad episode recently that I guest on as historian. I go full-blown Nolte. I do a Nick Nolte impression in there that I didn't even recognize. So
I think before we get into the Letterboxd list, let's do a quick little reflection on Watch the Throne. I mean, we've talked a lot. I think anybody who's listened to the show knows that this wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
That, like Keanu... Cage treated us so well, Shia treated us so well, but Keanu and Charlize both had more bad movies than we gave them credit for having.
Yeah.
I think Charlize, especially because of the inherent
just
sexism.
The gender bias is just crippling. And you can't ignore it when you're watching movies and stuff, but when you're doing a podcast like this, like it is just
The woman, yes.
It's so depressing. And you really, your eyes open even wider to like the problem that it causes, because it just like, it just makes bad movies are worse when there's less women in them. Like that's, to me, is the bottom line. Like ultimately, like these movies could have been so much better if, like, instead of Ben Affleck, we had, like, Winona Ryder or someone. That was a struggle.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting.
There were some gems, and we will get to those as we do our Letterboxd list. I mean, Keanu, we were thankful that we did Keanu Club basically for Man of Tai Chi and Flying, right? Like, we watched 70 of his movies.
We discovered
to find two
something
that we really liked. Well,
you know, and like, he had a bunch of great moments throughout, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though they weren't memorable films, they had some very memorable moments and stuff. So.
And plus, we can now say that we've seen every Keanu Reeves movie or every Charlize Theron movie.
You know, like, we can say that we did you know, we got that great line.
Yeah. That's from the Andy Griffith one?
No, the Dennis Hopper one.
Oh, where he's a hitman? No.
No, where they're by the river, the River's Edge.
Oh.
And the movie's called River's Edge.
Down by the river. I'm glad that we did Watch the Throne, if only to have our eyes open, because, I mean, we've talked about, we've credited Jordan and Kara of the Wistful Thinking podcast, another show here on the network, for bringing issues to light and for changing the way that we think about things. But I really do think, and this sounds so dumb and such a white guy, straight white guy thing to say, watching these movies from that perspective, just like, oh, this is all terrible.
Yeah.
We were talking about Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Venom has some questionable
in the green
gender
room.
Politics.
Yeah.
A Star is Born. Lady Gaga is incredible. She doesn't even have a last name until she marries Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's tough. And, like, she's the only woman in the movie.
Well, you know, the movie's been made 4 times now. And it's about a man rescuing a woman and, like, creating and crafting her life. Like, it's never been, like, 100% great. But.
And what's good about Watch the Throne and Charlize's career is that as time went on and she became more of a star, she had more control and more say over the type of character she played, the type of movie she was in,
when she
got naked, all that kind of stuff.
Then that was clearly obvious too, you know, like you could tell, like, she had more say.
And yet, you know, in these two movies we're talking about that are out as we're recording, that are probably still in theaters as this comes out in a couple of weeks, they're still today not very, and I mean,
miles
Jordan keeps saying how many more movies about straight white guys we need to see. Like,
yeah,
I don't fully agree with that. Like, there are still movies that I want to watch.
How,
but, like,
can you tell the Neil Armstrong
the
story?
Time, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
Gosling and First Man.
But we get it.
Great.
Yeah, but no, I totally agree with that. Like, it's oppressive. Like, and when it becomes blatantly oppressive to us, the viewer, then you know, like, the system's broken inside and out too.
Yeah.
Like, it can't, like, for these actors trying to get work, right? Like, it can't, it seems impossible.
I also wonder, and I would like to give us the credit to saying that, like, we would have known it, but I wonder if these were 45 great movies and a great TV show, if we would have noticed at all or as quickly. I think we would have noticed. It might have taken longer.
Yeah.
But it would be like, oh, this movie's so good. But we've been like, oh, Charlize didn't have much to do. But like, her character was great. You know what I mean? But like, the fact that it was combining terrible movies a lot of the time with terrible roles and generally no other women on screen. Like we were talking about when we did our, for the Chrome Teeth, when we announced things, like we didn't have a worst non-Charlize female category because there just weren't other women on screen that were bad, which is good in that there are no negative
bad
characters
performances,
or whatever, but
yeah.
There's just not performances.
They're not even there is the issue. Yeah, that's
so,
the problem.
That's the bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, this was definitely a learning journey. Like, I don't think it would... If these were all great movies, there's no way it would have been as obvious from the jump, but it just wouldn't be either. You know what I mean? Just
right.
The way things are. So I'm definitely glad we did this in the long run, though, because, like, I feel... Like, I learned something, you know? I learned a lot about, like, the industry, too, and stuff. This was definitely not the easiest podcast to do.
And I understand that the next two podcasts that we're doing, which we announced, I think, maybe a week ago, which were Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks.
Yeah. We've thrown ourselves a few softballs, maybe.
Like, I realize that it's just two more straight white guys.
Yeah.
And that's not great. But
no.
It's more... We want to keep doing podcasts, and we just have to start watching good movies. Like,
that's
what it is.
A big thing is, like, we know these are going to be... This is going to be an enjoyable experience. Like, these are going to be movies we're looking forward to, for the most part, ones I've seen that I know I'm really looking forward to. And I also feel like it's just going to create... Maybe, like, we'll get a couple... Like, some more traffic with these bigger names, like, two of the biggest names in the world. You know, we might be able to lure in a couple extra listeners by doing that. But yeah, we just set ourselves up to have a good time coming up. Like, we know we're going to have fun doing it, so hopefully that'll be reflective in the show.
Hopefully. And I do think that what we learned on this show in terms of gender politics and gender equality in movies will carry on into those shows.
Yeah.
We're just not focusing on a woman because when we pick Charlize over a handful of others, like, I don't know that it's necessarily better if we did like a Tilda Swinton or if we did a Scarlett Johansson. It might even be worse because I feel like Charlize is a star in the way that those two, I mean, Scarlett kind of is now. But, like, Tilda Swinton's not a star. I mean, she kind of maybe blazed her own path, and maybe it's different. But I feel like Charlize probably had it better. And we were joking with Jordan on the Tully episode. We were like, all it takes is being incredibly beautiful and a great actress, and then, like, dealing with shit for 20 years, and then becoming a producer and making your own movies, and then finally, like, you can be in movies that you want to be in. And, like, it's such an impossible pipe dream to become Charlize Theron, but... She did, and even though she went through terrible, terrible stuff, terrible roles, exploitative roles, roles that I'm sure, you know, she's talked about how she hates, was it Reindeer Games? She hates that character, hates that movie or whatever.
I can understand that.
She had to put up with a lot of shit to get where she is, but now she's there, hopefully, and I think it's probably true, she's able to make movies with great roles for other women. So the cycle maybe continues, perpetuates in a good way, though. Any other thoughts before we go to our Letterboxd lists?
I'm looking at my list, and I already want to switch two movies.
Well, you can. Positions. You can edit it.
No, you know, the only other thing is, like, we're not... Our next Cinemakers is we're going to be...
Which might be out. No, it's probably not out by now.
But we're going to be tackling a woman director in that series. So, you know...
Just, Amy Heckerling. We talked about it on the last thing. Yeah.
She's great. Those movies are going to be a lot of fun to talk about. So it's not like we're abandoning... It's not that we're never going to talk about... women film in film again, you know, we're still doing that. It's just our next I guess retrospective on actors are going to be the Tom Toms.
Dudes named Tom.
Tom Tom Club.
So we're going to start at the bottom of our lists on Letterboxd. You can go to letterboxd.com, letterboxd, letterboxd.com, and follow along at home, or you can just stay tuned. What I liked about the now and again countdown of the Rolling Stone Top 100 is that neither of them looked ahead.
Right.
Chris was reading, Nico had never seen the list. They just played along. So if you want to be surprised, if you want to spoil it, I think it's kind of obvious what the top few are going to be. Maybe not the top order, but the top few are going to be. You can, but, you know, if you want to just wait, here we go.
All right.
My number 45, just because calling it a movie, I think, is generous, Hollywood Confidential.
Crazy. Oh, man, that is not my 45.
Really? Okay.
My 45, and I'm sorry, The Last Face.
That's my 44.
Okay.
I think, I mean, we talked about on the thing we just recorded, which came out a couple weeks ago, the nominations of the Chrome Teeth. I would rather rewatch Hollywood Confidential, but I think as a piece of cinema, The Last Face is functional.
Okay.
It's bad in every regard, but it looks nice. I mean,
I hear
you. You know what I mean? It's...
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Hollywood Confidential is, boy.
My 44 is Celebrity.
Okay, for celebrities, my 43. I think we're going to have a lot of these that are really close.
My 43 is Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
That is my 42.
Wow. So 42, Hollywood Confidential.
Okay, so we have the same bottom four, just in a different order.
Yeah.
The two Woody Allen movies, which Brian Rodriguez and his Slumber Party podcast are both of those.
The way I feel about Hollywood Confidential is, yes, it's made for TV. It's hard to follow. It's damn near incomprehensible. I mean, you have these entertainment journalists solving crimes, but it was still like this fun. It was fun. I had more fun watching it than these other three movies. Those just made me depressed.
My 41, Life and Death of Peter Sellers.
Ooh, close. I had that at 40. 41 is Cider House Rules for me.
I had that much higher.
Wow, because I just had a very negative...
Well, you hate Tobey Maguire.
Well, and this is the movie that I finally realized that I hate Tobey Maguire, but I just had a very negative... I couldn't follow along with the Delroy Lindo plot. Like, I just had...
The Cider House.
Yeah, the Cider House, like, him sleeping with his dog. I just couldn't handle... I follow it. I didn't like it.
For comparison's sake, I had that at 25, but we'll get there later. Whoa. I mean, there's a lot of these are not good. Number 40, I have Sleepwalking.
Okay. That's where I had Peter Sellers at 40.
Okay.
39, Head in the Clouds.
Me too.
Oh, right.
Head in the Clouds, a movie that I feel like if literally everything was different about it, I could love that movie. Because, you know, it reminds me in ways of Captain Curley's Mandolin, because it got Penelope Cruz, it's in that time era. You know, there was a movie that I think I talked about on that episode. I don't know if you've seen yet, because I think we would have talked about it. See You Up There, which I saw at Fantastic Fest last year, which is just incredible. Like, you can do this movie right. Head in the Clouds is not.
No.
Shout out Stuart Townsend.
Walk in the Clouds? I know, yeah. Shout out Stuart Townsend. This felt like two movies to me. Party All Day in the first half, and then Rotten Jail All Night in the second half. You know.
38, Million Ways to Die in the West.
Ooh, I had Astro Boy.
Astro Boy, I have 35. Astro Boy.
You know me in a million ways, like, that's way up on my... Well, not way up, but, like, it's
kind of further up there. Yeah, I get it. It's just not funny.
Just... Take your hat off, boy. It's a dollar.
37. I feel like this might be too low, but 15 minutes at 37.
Oh, I have Sleepwalking.
Okay, so I had that a little bit lower. Okay, that's fair.
All right.
So my list, here's the thing with the list. The list is kind of a weird, and I
it's
think
very weird.
It matters more at the top.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of how good is the movie, how much do I like the movie, does Charlize have like a big part in it?
Yes. That's why Astro Boy is so low.
Right. Like I like Astro... I mean, Astro Boy is not great, but as a Cage movie, it's good. If we were doing like a... Whatever the kid's name is from Bates Motel, Freddie Highmore, doing a Freddie Highmore podcast, it'd probably be really good. It's just, as a Charlize movie, not great. 36, Battle in Seattle.
Oh, I had Dark Places.
Crossover to Magic Mike's. I had Dark Places at 33, so it's close.
I really gave... I don't even know. We'll get to where Battle in Seattle is, but it looks like it... I don't even know. Where is it? Hold on a second. You know where that is? It's next. It's 35.
There we go. And my 35 is Astro Boy.
Okay.
34, Huntsman Winter's War, number 2.
Oh, 2 days in the Valley for me.
Okay, I have that higher because I think I moved that up a little bit today as I was doing my final review. Charlize is not... I mean, Charlize is good, and it's her first, like, breakout role.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of the other stuff,
yeah,
not as bad.
No. It's got that great fight.
We also watched it almost a year ago.
I know,
so
I might be too.
I might be misremembering it. 33, we talked about Dark Places, the Gillian Flynn novel. This was what made me worried to watch Sharp Objects.
Okay.
But Sharp Objects on HBO is great.
All right. Gotta check
this
that out.
Bad.
Yes.
I, 33.
Reindeer Games.
I have mine a little bit higher at 28.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about when we get there. 32, Astronaut's Wife.
Oh, that's where I have Huntsman 2.
Okay. 31, I have Trapped. Okay, for the record, most of these last like 5 or 10, all 1.5 stars out of 5.
No, I know.
31, Trapped, the Kevin Bacon movie.
Oh, the Kevin Bacon, you mean the Stuart Townsend movie?
Yes.
I put Gringo at 31.
I have Gringo at 30.
Okay.
Not great.
No, I have Italian Job at 30.
I have Italian Job at 27. My 29, this moved down a little bit just because she's not in it a ton. Trial and
That's
Error.
That's my 29.
Trial and Error?
Yeah.
There we go.
Nice.
28, okay. Reindeer Games, I said. What's your 28?
15 minutes.
All right, so still there. 27 is my Italian Job.
Okay, I have Bagger Vance.
Oh, I have that a little bit higher, I think.
Okay,
just because
okay.
I like Will Smith and Matt Damon.
No, I understand. I get it.
26, 2 Days in the Valley.
Snow White 1. Snow White and
oh,
the
I have that.
1.
I think I have that really high.
Really?
I think so, because she's really good in it.
Yeah, I know. That might be too low, but I whatever. It's too late now.
25, this is the biggest discrepancy that we have so far. 25, Cider House Rules.
No, I have Trapped there. 25.
Okay. Yeah. My 24, Eon Flux.
Yeah, this is... Wait, a Million Ways to Die in the West at 24.
It's okay. It's, you know...
I like the Western.
It's not your fault. Just like Robin Williams in
Good Will Hunting. It's not my fault.
Your fault. 23, again, this is... The fact that this is this high is just a sign of what we had below it. Sweet November.
Wow, I have that much higher. I have Astronaut's Wife at 23.
Okay. That's my 22, maybe in your top five, Children of the Corn 3.
it's not quite my top five, but it's way up there. I had The Burning Plane there.
Okay. Burning Plane is my 21.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. That's I have Eon Flux at 21.
Okay. 20, I have Bagger Vance, so it's not super high, right. But I think it's...
We're in the same zone
here. I think it's a well-made movie. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, Charlie's not in it a lot, and it's kind of, it's that magical Negro, white savior, not great thing.
And then, does he die at the end? Was it all... Yeah. I have Sweet November at 20.
Okay, so not much higher. It's right there, 20 for 20, yep. 19, I have back-to-back here, Will Smith, Hancock at 19.
Okay, I had him a little higher. I have North Country there at 19. Okay. A little Hawkeye. Getting too rough with Charlize at work.
18, again, probably in your top five, Mighty Joe Young.
No. close, but you'll be surprised that this might have made it this high up on my list. I have Waking Up in Reno at 18.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, pretty respectable position in the top 20.
Not bad,
top
considering
20.
How vitriolic you
so,
were on that episode.
Do you want to know what happened that day? The day we recorded that, it was a major snowstorm, and the power went out in my house 3 times.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the greatest mood, so it just sort of amplified everything that was feeling bad that day.
I get it. Me and Holly Gore, not mad Holly Gore there,
no.
Defensive, like assistive Holly Gore, me and her, she and I defended that one. 17, I have Snow White and the Huntsman, which is a little bit lower.
I have Fate of the Furious there.
I have Fate of the Furious next. Again, that's one. My review this time around was somewhere outside of Havana. The Stockholm Syndrome began to set it. Like, just like sort of like the beginning of Fear and Loathing, the first line is like, somewhere outside of Vegas, the drugs began to take hold or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen this movie now 3 or 4 times. And I've seen this movie, I think, 4 times. 3 times in the last 4 months. I don't like it, but I'm getting to the point where I'm like...
You're in backcountry.
Yes, I am in backcountry.
So it's kind of cool how, like, if we don't have them at the same spot, they're within sort of like the same realm. I have Hancock at 16.
It isn't unexpected because, for the most part, we've been... Outside of, like, The Bad Batch, which I like, but you love.
I love.
And outside of Waking Up in Reno, which you've come around a bit on.
Right, but that's your
like,
baby
we've been,
right there.
For the most part, in sync with, like, the hundreds of movies that we've seen, which is still baffling to me. 15, Prometheus.
Oh, me too.
There
we
go. That's
the third we matched on.
14, this is probably higher on your list, Men of Honor.
Yeah, it's much higher on my list. That's where I put Devil's Advocate.
So here, that one and the next three, so these four in a row, are movies that I think, that I really like or I think are good movies, that she's not in a ton.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do all four in a row real quick. 14, Men of Honor. 13, The Road.
I had 13, The Road.
12, That Thing You Do.
Okay.
11, Devil's Advocate. Where it's all I like those movies, I like talking about those movies, I would rewatch any of them, I just don't think... On a Charlize Theron list. It also, to me, where I was like, okay, if I'm going to say that the top 10 Charlize Theron movies are these 10 movies.
I hear you.
I don't want to have a movie like That Thing You Do, which I love as a movie, that she's in, I mean, the Charlize cut, she's in a bunch of it, but like in the regular cut, she's in like 2 scenes of. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I hear you.
So Men of Honor, The Road, That Thing You Do, Devil's Advocate, 14, 13, 12, 11. So what were your four there?
Okay, so I actually do have That Thing You Do in my top 10.
Okay.
Right now, because I didn't gauge it the same way.
No, it's fine.
Did.
There's no right or wrong.
There. 13, The Road, we matched on. 12, Children of the Corn 3.
Okay.
And then 11, Mighty Joe Young.
There we go.
So, you know, I couldn't quite crack the top 10 with them, although maybe if I had to switch one or two around, I'd swap Mighty Joe Young with That Thing You Do, but as it is now, I'm leaving it. I'm going to call that the Charlize extra long Hanks's character's gay cut of That Thing You Do. Is the one that I ranked. That's why
that's
9, because there's way more Charlize.
So in our top 10, if I did my math right, I think we have 8 of the same top 10.
Okay.
My number 10 is one you had lower, North Country.
All right.
Just because I thought that was I don't think it's necessarily a great movie. I think she's great in it, though, and it's a serious movie, and that's one of the ones that's more, you know, I'm into.
My 10 is Monster.
That's my number 9.
Okay. It's great and amazing, but, like, I've seen it twice, and I'm never going to watch it again.
I saw it once, and I'm never going to watch it again.
Well, I watched it once in school, so I was like,
She won an Oscar for it for good reason. It just...
Yeah.
I'm good.
Uh-huh. All right, so number 9?
Yep.
That Thing You Do. That's
okay.
Why I had that.
Number 8, near masterpiece, The Yards.
Oh, interesting. I put that 7.
Okay.
For 8, I had Kubo.
Okay, I have Kubo at 6. I have Kubo a little bit higher. I gave Kubo... Kubo is one of only 3 movies on the list I gave 5 stars to, but I just think that in terms of her role in it, it's not as much as the ones above it. You know what I mean?
Right, so, right.
9, you said you had...
9, That Thing You Do.
8, you had Kubo.
Kubo.
I had The Yards. So number 7, In the Valley of Ella.
And that's where I had The Yards, number 7.
Okay.
Number 6,
I said I had Kubo.
Okay, Men of Honor. I mean, I know she's barely in it. But, like, it's one of the movies I feel like I discovered while watching Watch the Throne. I don't care how little she's in it, because I just love that movie for some reason.
Number 5, it's the only other one that we have different in our top 10, You know what it is. I had to keep it in the top five. Waking Up in Reno.
Alrighty. That's totally cool. I have In the Valley of Ella at number five.
Okay.
Because, like, my top five, I feel, are, like, legit, like, her five best movies.
So we have the same top four. Different orders, maybe, but same top
okay.
four.
Okay. Number four.
Tully.
Young Adult.
Number three. Young Adult.
Tully.
There we go.
Number two.
Now, number two, I think I saw your list, and we do have a flip-flop.
Oh.
I think. Number two, Atomic Blonde.
Okay, I have Mad Max, Fury Road.
And number one, Mad Max.
I have Atomic Blonde.
That's one where I'm like, oh, no, Mad Max is a perfect movie.
See, I think what it is for me is I've seen Atomic Blonde less, right? Like, I watched the hell out of Fury Road, so it just felt more fresh to me this viewing. But, like, yeah, those number three and four could go back and forth, and then number one and two could totally go back and forth.
But I think, you know, the fact that we have the same top four, I think, is telling. The same way we have this top two, the same top two is telling. Waking Up in Reno, you came around on a little bit.
It's totally fine.
But I think that the biggest ones that we're different on, Waking Up in Reno, North Country, sort of. That Thing You Do a little bit, not quite.
Mighty Joe Young.
Men of Honor, Mighty Joe Young, Children of the Corn 3.
So like a handful, yeah. And then those, obviously, Children of the Corn 3, I have an affinity for it. It's a part 3, and it's a horror thing. And I would love to put that out, like, on my feed, at, like, the one-year anniversary, and be like, this is the genesis.
We're closing on it. Less than 2 months now. Actually, when this comes out, it's about a month
from
now.
Oh, no, but my show started in March, so...
Oh, on the one-year anniversary of your show.
Yeah, yeah. Put out the Children of the Corn 3 episode on that.
Okay.
I don't know. No, yeah, and then Mighty Joe Young, and just, like, me and Giant Animal movies and stuff, I just loved it.
This is actually pretty fun. I think if you take the time to rank Cage or Keanu,
okay,
we could just do a special episode of that. Just, you know, count them down.
Okay. I mean, that's giving me incentive.
You know.
I will go get on that.
Cool. But do you have any other thoughts about Watch the Throne? I mean, we have one episode to record left, which is the only episode that we have not released yet as you're hearing this, which is the Chrome Teeth Themselves, which we're recording soon with Amelia from Australia. And then we're going to put it out on, I think, November 16th. Is the day that comes out?
I'll probably reiterate this later on, but, like, I just think it is great that we've actually reached people around the world, and, like, Italy and Australia and Europe and London, and, like, that, to me, makes this all feel pretty successful. Like, I feel like this is a success because we didn't set out to do any of that. We just wanted to discuss movies with each other, and the fact that people out there enjoy this is just, like, makes me feel amazing. So
I mean,
that's
just
really great.
We've made no qualms about saying we're doing this for us, but the fact that anybody listens, thank you. I mean, it's cool. We've reached a point where, like, when we started Cage Club, we've talked about this maybe something recently on something, or maybe this was off mic. When we started Cage Club, we're like, oh, there's a couple other Nicolas Cage podcasts. I don't know if we should, like, we're still going to do it, but, like, oh, we got it. And now we're just like, I don't care. Like,
we're
going to
do whatever we want to do.
But yeah, I mean, that's all that really matters. So thank you for listening. We have one more episode of Watch a Throne next week, the Chrome Teeth. If the voting is still open, go to cageclub.me and vote. We will tally the votes, come back next week, report the winners.
Yes.
And then we will, of course, be back when Charlize has more movies to come out. You know,
right.
Adam's Family. Flarsky, Fair and Balanced.
Wait, the one about some news movie was just, the Annapurna one was just canceled.
Fair and Balanced was canceled?
Yeah, like 2 days before it was going into production, because I was listening on the radio and it was listing the stacked cast that has to look for new work, and I heard Charlize's name and I was like, oh no. And everyone's trying to figure out what's going on with Annapurna Pictures. What's happening?
Roger Ailes' movie no longer in works at Annapurna. Others startling the Resuscitate project.
Okay, good. And apparently Atomic Blonde 2 is on IMDb somewhere, so like they're working on making that. So awesome.
Apparently it was just becoming too expensive, and that they to make it the way that the filmmakers wanted to make it, they had to make more money or whatever. So Annapurna is smaller. I mean, Annapurna makes great movies, but smaller studio.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big budget. So anyway, go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, and at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us watch@cageclub.me. Thanks again for listening. Come back in 1 week for the Chrome Teeth, the best and the worst of what Charlize Theron and Watch the Throne have to offer. Maybe some spoilers in this episode about what we might pick as best film, best role. Who knows? But come back in a week.
If you listen closely.
Remember, vote Candy Kirkendall, best role, Waking Up in Reno. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Stuart Tass. I mean, and I'm Mike Manzi.
Oh boy. And we will see you next week for the Chrome Teeth right here on Watch the Throne.
Love to see him be a judge.
Just like kind of in it, yo. I'm a glorified extra.
Yeah, and we got to talk about Dennis Miller, babe. Babyface. Lady, there's a lot of shit going on that you don't know about.
Constantinople.
He's like, I'm hoping to have it set in the 40s. That way I could get away with all my icky stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, hello. No, thank you. Pass. Hard pass. Hard pass.
I grew up on the salt of the earth and I'm an asshole because of it. And
I know. Like, that was part of the plan. Like, I wanted to get captured.
Ah, she never misses, does she?
Why does this scene have to be in Who's Got Mail? Why can't it be in Atrocities in Another Country Movie? Like, I don't get it. I'm gonna do that. So, you know, either do that or get off my set.
Take me on the other side.
There's an impression.